You're listening to Big Cast, your source for financial technology innovation with John Best.
Hi, Glenn Servati here for the Big Cast. And before I turn things over to John Best with this week's fun and games, I just want to make sure that you're aware of a couple of things we've mentioned earlier, but I think they deserve a little bit more attention. Tuesday, October 29th. If you are going to find yourself in New York City or would like to get yourself to New York City, the Voice of Money Conference coming up. John Best will be one of the keynote speakers about the whole voice banking revolution being held in downtown New York City in a conference facility called Subculture, which looks very cool from what I can tell and may or may not be named after a Pixie song. I'm not certain. If you go out to their website, it's a little bit of an unusual address, voiceof.money. And if you use the code BIG2019, just for the benefit of having listened to this program, you can get 20% off your registration. That's the Voice of Money Conference in New York City, Tuesday, October 29th. Also, we talked about this recently. The Credit Union Voice Registry is now officially open. I think I used the phrase land grab last time. I think it comes down to that. If you think about the way all the good names are taken for URLs on the web these days, similar situation now if you want to be dealing with voice technology and being recognized on Google Home, Alexa, etc. John Best and the Best Innovation Group folks have put together a wonderful opportunity and a way for you to reserve your name there. All you got to do is go to cuvoiceregistry.com. You can search and see if your credit union's name is still available and stake your claim. So out there now, check it out, cuvoiceregistry.com. With that, on to John Best in the episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of the Big Cast. My name is John Best. I am the CEO of Best Innovation Group, and we like to do cool things for banks and credit unions. If you want to check us out, particularly our consulting area, you can go big-fintech.com/consulting. I'm also an author. I have written Breaking Digital Gridlock. You can check out breakingdigitalgridlock.com. And you can buy the book anywhere that you can buy books. Today is a beautiful day here in Colorado Springs. I happen to be at home. And today I'm particularly excited because I have a couple of very exciting guests to share with you. As many of you know, we here at Big have believed in voice for a long, long time. We have our own product called Five, which enables banks and credit unions to be transactionally oriented on these voice services like Alexa and Google. And today we have two of what I'll say are one of the foremost experts in this area who have agreed to join me on this podcast. So let's welcome Brett Kinsella, who is the CEO of VoiceBot.ai. He's also the host of the VoiceBot podcast. Welcome, Brett.
Well, thanks for having me, John.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And with us is Bradley Metlock, who is the host of the number one tech podcast, This Week in Voice. He's the executive producer of the Voice First events. And right now he's working with me on The Voice of Money, which is really part of his Project Money series. Is that correct, Bradley?
Yeah, that's pretty close, John. Thank you for having me. Yeah, Voice of Money, excited to have you all there. Project Voice, going to be the number one event in voice tech and AI in America. We're excited about that too. Honored to be part of your show.
Oh, well, it's an honor to have both of you guys. So right off the bat, I'm going to start off just kind of pinging Brett a little bit. Well, first, let's do this. Brett, why don't you give just a little background on for those of us who are listening who don't know what VoiceBot.ai is and what the podcast is about. Just give us your elevator speech there.
Oh, for VoiceBot.ai, sure. So I started working in the voice industry around 2013. We were doing voice on mobile for advertising. It was tied in with like Pandora and Spotify and NPR. And in those days, that was pre-Alexa, pre-Google Assistant. You had to actually build your own voice assistant and all the other capabilities that went around that to implement a use case. And I was working with a company that around late 2015, early 2016, a couple different times, Amazon approached them about supporting the Echo platform and Alexa. And I just launched into some research around the space to see how that was growing, because that was a different segment of the voice space than we'd been working in. And I recognized it as something familiar, because in the 1990s, I was doing something around the rise of the web and business-to-business e-commerce. And what I found was a couple of different things. First of all, similar hallmarks in terms of the elements of a platform shift, a technology platform shift. We think about the web, we talk about mobile. I could see the elements of voice being that next major shift. And the other thing I noticed was there wasn't a lot of very good information. And in particular, there wasn't a lot of good data. I wound up writing a couple articles for magazines that people were interested in having us, you know, comment on the space and what we thought about it. And this was, you know, think about it, in early 2016. And people just asked me for information. I said, geez, you know, I guess I could share this pretty easily by just throwing up a website and giving people links to other articles. When we launched in September 2016, that I thought we would just blog maybe once or twice a week. Maybe there wouldn't be that much news, but it really started to explode around that time. Amazon Echo Dot started shipping in Europe. The next week, Viv Labs was acquired by Samsung, which eventually became the Bixby voice assistant. And 2 weeks later, Google Home was officially introduced and started shipping the month after that. So it turned out to be that there was a lot more there and a lot more activity than we originally planned. And we just fell into this role of being a central information source for the industry. And then we augmented that with our own consumer research and then technical research, which we've put out in reports for VoiceBot podcast or for VoiceBot research. And we started a podcast, and we've got over 100 episodes of that where we've interviewed innovators and entrepreneurs in the space. And so essentially what it became was, it was a side thing that we were doing that just grew very quickly, and there was a lot of demand. So we've been trying to keep up with that and provide people data and insight and then information by allowing the entrepreneurs in the space to tell their story.
That's awesome. And, you know, I think it's interesting how you sort of fell into that. That's because that's kind of how it started with me as well, is I got one and went, well, I do with it what I do with every device I get, which is connected to a bank or credit union. And so I can see how you kind of got there. So Bradley, you know, I'm assuming you had some sort of divine moment, like a burning bush or some tablets or something, and came down from the mountain, or how did you get into that space?
Yeah, well, if you make that assumption, you know what they say about making assumptions. And, true for that. So, no, you know, I sort of fell into it as well. And, you know, I had started a completely unrelated business in 2008. I sold it in 2013. And I couldn't rush into anything new. So I started learning some new skills. And I was always interested in publishing. And so I got into and created a new company around publishing interactive content and things like that. And, you know, one thing's got a funny way of leading to another. You know, some of the clients we were working with, you know, the numbers grew. People kept asking, what's up with Alexa? You know, this is now late 2015, getting into 2016, really. You know, pretty much the whole year of 2016 and then early even 2017, what's up with Alexa? And I'm like, you got to stop asking me. You got to stop.
Right.
And, you know, but ultimately, the more I learned about Alexa and the more I learned about voice in general, the more fascinated I became. And we had, you know, pretty early on this sort of conference apparatus that we had created. And we were running some growing community events, you know, strictly within the publishing side of things. And we thought, you know what, it'd be cool to run something called the Alexa Conference and bring people together who are doing work with this. Now, the thing about all of our conferences is I program them myself. So I do that because I've learned that that's a really good way to stay on top of, you know, who's doing what, where, and, you know, all the interesting people doing all the interesting work. And when we brought together the first Alexa Conference, we piloted it in early 2017 on the campus of Vanderbilt University. And we promoted it almost not at all, because I didn't really know. I just wanted to do it sort of quietly. And we had people travel internationally to attend. We had all sorts of big companies there. And there was only about 80 or 90 people there, but that was about 80 or 90 more than I expected to show up. I thought we were going to have like 20 or 30, just a small group. And it really opened my eyes. And so that led to starting Voice First FM, which is the podcast network for this new era of voice first computing that we're in, which has grown in a way that I never would have anticipated. the events have come out of that, and they have grown in a way that I never would have anticipated, and just sort of, you know, have fallen into all this. It ends up with, you know, having a show like with being able to talk to Mark Cuban for 45 minutes, you know, and something like that. I mean, I never would have thought that stuff like that would have been happening. I just got into it because I thought it was interesting, and a lot of interesting people were gravitating to it. And then, you know, one of the first podcasts we ever did, a guy named Brian Romley came on the show, and it's still a piece of content that a lot of people download. It's the first episode of the Voice First Roundtable that we did, and explained, you know, how, you know, I'm paraphrasing, he phrased it a different way, but, you know, voice is part of our human experience. It's who we are, you know, from hearing our mother's voice in the womb or when we're born, to developing an inner voice that will guide us for the rest of our life. And, you know, from that point, it made sense that technology would evolve toward incorporating and deeply integrating voice. And so I was sold at that point. It was clear to me that this was not a fad or a gimmick, that there might be fits and starts. We might take a couple steps backward to take one step forward. We might shoot ourselves in the foot with data security and privacy sorts of things, but there's no stopping it. The technology is moving that direction. And so I'm all in. I'm a big believer. And, you know, I think it's healthy to be skeptical and cynical when you see some of these tech juggernauts, you know, doing things. I think it's good to question what they're doing. But all in all, the movement toward voice is one that I think should be welcomed. And fortunately, for the most part, is. So that's how I got here.
Awesome. So with that in mind, I think that both of you are sort of, by the way, Brian is an incredible interview. I've been on a show or two with him with Brett King, and yeah, he'll blow your mind. He's kind of like, I don't know, Bob Dylan meets a technology guy meets, anyways, he's amazing. And you're right. His insights are excellent in particular to this, because it makes all the sense in the world when you realize that, you know, we can speak 26,000 times faster than we can type. It just makes a lot of sense. So I believe that both of you are sort of uniquely positioned to help me kind of sort out something, which is, I think what people want to know that listen to this podcast is, how does this sort of impact financial services? And Brett, you know, in the lead up to this show, you were talking a little bit about some research that you've done, a couple podcasts. And I know, you know, Bradley, you have, you know, we talked about Voice of Money and some of the other things that are coming. So why don't we start off with Brett? And Brett, maybe you can talk a little bit about what you see in the fintech space around this, or the financial services space.
Sure. In some ways, financial services isn't that much different than other industries looking at voice, in that there's a lot of people out there who are taking processes, use cases that we execute today, and then they're adding voice to it to make it more efficient, more convenient. And we see that, like the original Alexa skills, like from Capital One and American Express, some of the ones that you've done with credit unions, for example, on the Five platform. The first thing is check the balance, which something we could do on a mobile app already or online, but it's just a little bit faster to ask Alexa. We could do some transfers, those things, you know, transfer between accounts, pay bills. Again, things that we could do on other platforms that we already supported, but it's just a little bit more convenient. And where it's already started to morph into this case is if you look at like Capital One or Bank of America, they're adding new features on top of this as well. And now right now, those organizations are doing it through mobile apps and some cases SMS or through their website. But in those cases, what they're doing is they're using voice to allow people to get to features more efficiently. So one of the things you probably know better than I do, because you're really in this very deeply, is that over the years, a lot of features have been added to websites and mobile apps from financial institutions. And the menu structure on a mobile app or website, it can be pretty hard to find all the things that you can do. And so what you find out is that when you add voice to that, you can actually discover these features that have always been there, but consumers were having trouble finding them or didn't know they even existed. But when they have this opportunity just to ask for anything, they can get it. And that's been one really significant benefit beyond just the pure efficiency of interacting, but being able to find information more effectively, because it's really good at these complex inputs. When you think about voice, voice is really good at complex inputs and simple outputs. And so you ask like a, you know, multivariate question, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, my mobile app can answer that question. I just didn't know where to search the menus.
Right.
And then there's other things that they're adding on to it, which is, you know, features that might have been hard to get to in the mobile app or something like that, which, you know, in the back end, there's a lot of AI being added, which help people plan for their budget or alert them when certain things are maybe trending in a way that, you know, is outside of the standard trajectory and those types of things. So, you know, I see voice is in some ways a more efficient user interface for some of the things people are trying to do on the consumer banking side. And in other ways, it's really the front end of introducing a lot of new features.
Yeah, I agree. I for me, where I've been spending a lot of my time, and I want to get to Bradley here, but where I've been spending a lot of my time is, I feel like that voice has this unique opportunity to deal with context. And so just as an illustration of that, you ever been in the middle of something on your mobile phone or your home banking on your computer, and you don't have, you know, an element or a piece of information that you need, and there isn't really a way to sort of like pause that and come back to it? You know, you either cancel that transaction until you find it. Let's say that you needed a account ID for a bill pay or something. Where
state persistence.
Yeah,
Continual problem.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I want to come back to what you said about Capital One, American Express, and talk a little bit about, you know, I want Bradley to jump in on this too and hear his thoughts, particularly with his, the conference coming up that we'll be at. But, and Bradley, when we do that, let's tell everybody when that conference is, how they can sign up for it. But coming back around to this idea of, do you see Capital One and American Express, is this just a dabbling for them, or did you get the sense from the interviews like you have with Margaret from Capital One that this is, you know, something they're putting some energy and some effort in, and they see that this is a future channel?
It's absolutely a current and future channel for them. The you know, if you think about it, what they're looking at is a transition in consumer expectations, as well as the ability to roll out more features. And the transition in consumer expectations is in many ways being catalyzed by Alexa and Google Assistant on the smart speaker. People are starting to get to this sense that, oh, I can access data and I can conduct transactions by voice in one area. Why couldn't I do it in another area? So banking's not immune to that because consumer expectations change. And if you look at it, what my analysis suggests is that Bank of America spent somewhere over $60 million to build Erica. And they have, I think the latest number was about 24 million people had used Erica, which is the name of their voice assistant, on the mobile app. And I understand from some other people that, you know, a lot of those are one-time trials, but there's several million who have used it multiple times. And when you're talking about an industry like banking, the ability to provide just that one additional feature might be something that would keep a customer from trying out another bank, for example. I mean, we see it all the time. There's all these new banks that have come up. There's some which are online only, don't have physical presence. There's others that offer all these different specials from time to time. It used to be, you have better interest on your checking account. Now it's other types of services. And in this case, it's you have your digital assistant, which is your banking digital assistant. Now, when I was talking to Margaret Meyer of Capital One, their assistant's name is Eno. And Eno, one of the first things they did when they rolled out was the ability to have the Alexa skill to check balance and those types of things. But then they all rolled out capabilities for being able to do the same thing on text messaging, SMS, on the website. And saw this idea of sort of one assistant across all channels that'll give you this common interface. And you mentioned this idea that, you know, there's not the state persistence where you can't like start a transaction and come back to it later. This is a huge problem. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a huge problem like in terms of that one session, but it's like, what if I switch from my mobile app and the next time I'm working on my desktop? And that's one of the reasons why these things are always, the state always, you know, gets sacrificed.
Or it's dysfunctional. You know, you call the call center and they don't know what you were doing on the mobile app because it's by some other vendor. It's a Frankenstein that's been stitched together.
Exactly. So if you look at it in like Margaret Meyer, which was episode 99 of the VoiceBot podcast, you know, people can check that out at voicebot.ai/.
And we'll have a link to that in the show notes for those of you driving.
But I just want to tell you, like, you know, they look at this. This is a long-term play for them. So they came out with Alexa 1 year. They came out with all these other features, added to the mobile app the next year. And they've continued to iterate. And so just to go back to your original question, they don't see this as an anomaly or a novelty. They see this as one of the core ways that they're going to interact with consumers going forward.
That's really fascinating. It's also fascinating that they named their assistant E-No. I mean, from a loan perspective, I think I would have named it E-Yes, but eh.
You know. Well, it's one spelled backwards.
Ah, okay, gotcha. Still sounds like no. So, Bradley, what are you thinking there? Can you elaborate on some of that?
Sure. I never thought about Eno being one spelled backwards. I know must be too stupid to have recognized that. I do like the fact that Erica is 5/7 of the word America in Bank of America, which is pretty clever. Yeah.
Know why I named 5/5? You guys know?
No, enlighten us.
It was so Neff Hudson from USAA and I were on a stage speaking together, and he mentioned Siri and her five sisters, which at the time were Erica, Cortana is a female, and so forth and so on. And my intention was to make all of those use the same interface, so that's why I called it 5.
Clever.
Okay, yeah, that's cool.
But a cool acronym came out of it, so that worked out.
Yeah, very nice. We're excited to have you, John, at the Voice of Money. I'll cover that. That's going to be Tuesday, October the 29th in New York City at a very cool venue called Subculture there that is a it's sort of this underground club-looking sort of place, and it's going to hold about 200 people. But a lot of business conferences use it. You know, these Wall Street bankers like to go there and think they're cool. Well, we're going to go there and think we're cool.
I like it.
And so, it's going to be
Should fantastic. I bring my guitar? I'll probably bring my guitar.
Sure. Yeah. Yes, you should, because you'd be right at home up on the stage with that. And, you know, there's that's going to be an absolute packed house. And I want to draw sort of, you know, I'm glad to mention that. And by the way, the website for people listening, voiceof.money, you can check out more about the conference there.
And we'll have links and banners to all of that with this podcast. So for those of you listening, you just go straight to big-fintech.com and click on the podcast button, and all of that will be there.
I think it's important to draw a parallel to something else that we've done. So earlier this year, we did something called the Voice of the Car Summit, and that was a similar size show. It will similarly be completely packed, and it was out in the Bay Area. And that event opened my eyes to, I think what we're seeing in automotive with voice provides a useful glimpse into the future for other sectors. What we're seeing in automotive is that voice has rapidly turned into, it's never going to be the number one driver for someone buying a new vehicle. It's just not. Right. But can it be a number two, a number three, a number four, like having a meaningful place on the pros and cons list? Yeah, absolutely it can, and it already does. And the reasoning for that, there's a few different reasons for it, but the number one reason in my mind is that your car is so inextricably linked to your daily life and routines. So you've got to be able to interact with your car inside the home and vice versa. And there's got to be this sort of continuity, is the word, between your car and your house. And as a result of that, and people realizing that that is an option, you know, you can engage with new Ford vehicles or Tesla or, you know, BMW or whatever through Google Assistant or through Alexa skills or whatever. That's changed the way that people look at that. And it's made voice a important factor in the sales process, in the consumer selection process. I think we're going to see that everywhere else. And in different industries, we're seeing it in different sort of stages of infancy. You know, I would say hospitality has not nearly gotten as far along that curve as, say, you know, perhaps banking and finance are. But everyone will get there eventually, I believe that, to where how voice and conversational AI are integrated into the business model and the operational capabilities of different businesses in the space will start to become a point of differentiation. And it's interesting to see, you know, retail banking and credit unions, folks like are working with y'all, get into that. But I think it's something that you're going to see everywhere, even with you know, like wealth management, like Goldman Sachs or people like that. And, you know, at the Voice of Money, we've got AllianceBernstein coming, to talk specifically about some of the things they look for right now with conversational AI. And so that's, you know, I draw a parallel back to that only because I, you know, went through programming that conference. And I can tell you with what we're seeing in the Voice of Money and putting that event together, that there's a lot of innovation going on right now. And it's not down the road. It's happening right now.
Yeah.
And it would blow you away, a lot of things that are going on. And so, you know, we're excited about that event. We're excited about what's going on in the space. It's impacting everything from, like I said, retail banking to corporate finance and risk management and even cryptocurrency. It's really, yeah, there's a lot of interesting things going on, and we're going to cover all of them.
Hey, I just wanted to jump into, so the Voice of the Car Summit, which I had the opportunity to attend. Thanks for inviting me to that, Bradley. That was a great event. And I think there is some parallel, just to reinforce what Bradley was saying about that, is that in the car, you see these auto manufacturers that don't want to surrender the entire user experience and all the user data to Amazon or Google or Microsoft or whoever it might be. They want to have some control over that. And that's one of the things that was definitely talked about a number of times at the that conference that Bradley put on. And I think you have another episode of that, I think, coming up in 2020 as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. April 2020, shameless plug.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so it was really great. It was the first time we really saw like sort of tech community come together around this. We've seen automotive talk about it before, but we hadn't seen the automotive tech community come around to talk about this. So I thought it was great. But the same way that they want to control the car, financial institutions' question is, what's their car, right? What is their scenario or their vehicle for, you know, controlling the consumer experience and data and, you know, providing these value? And I think what we're seeing with Capital One and with Bank of America is they're saying, hey, it's going to be the mobile app, but it's also going to be these other surfaces that we communicate across, whether it's, you know, potentially SMS, could be other type of Wi-Fi based messaging, could also be the website. This idea that they don't want to just be with Alexa or with Google Assistant or with Apple Siri. They also want to have their own capability that's not encumbered by the limitations provided by the platforms, but they can build something that's really useful for their users.
Yeah, that's exactly the concept of Five from day one. Was I knew What I learned from doing mobile banking in the early 2009, we were one of the first credit unions to be, well, one of the first financial institutions to be in the Apple store. I remember the board told me it was a fad, but then they came back later and said, "Hey, did you finish that little project you were working on?" But you know, it's interesting as people go through is that I realized real early on that one of the challenges I had after we got done building Android and Apple, because we were early to the game, was this idea that one or the other would lag behind in features. I just recently did a fintech tip where I talked about sort of this convenience versus utility and how it's an opposite parallax, if you will. So the more convenient it is, the less utility it has. So if you think of mobile banking, there's a lot of things it can't do that the branch can, and vice versa. And so as we move into this space, I see that same issue. And but I don't think people are going to accept, because of the nature, I think something Brian said, I think people can sort of look at the Android and go, okay, they haven't got to this on this platform because it's different, but on the Android. But when you hear a voice coming out of a speaker and one's dumber than the other, I don't think that's going to fly with the consumers. And so, and then this idea that you just mentioned of zero UI is what I'm calling it. Voice UX, when I first started, there was nothing on that. I had to sort of figure it out from scratch. And now as we moved along, we're learning more about it. I think everybody is, but it's nothing like traditional UX in terms of, the experience that you're trying to put together. And to make things worse, I think for the financial institutions and comment to your platform and the vehicle is, they're not just selling one type of thing. It's very much a bunch of different stuff. You know, you got a payment experience, you got this lending experience, you got a home buying experience, which is kind of a sub-lending experience, but even more, then you got your day-to-day transactions and transfers and interacting. And it's a much bigger onion to peel, but I think it's much more peelable, if you will, within that space. But one thing I wanted to just throw at you guys that we're seeing a lot of is we're actually seeing a lot of folks look at this from an ADA perspective. Have you seen, heard anything or seen experience about that?
Yeah. I can touch on that if you want me to just go first here. But I'll preface this by saying we've got our first conference coming up is Digital Book World. That's the next one on our schedule. And there's a big ADA conversation going on there with the battle that's shaping between Audible and the publishers, the major publishers. And Audible has rolled out something called Audible Captions. And yep. It's basically a text read-along in real time, 2 to 3 sentences transcribed at a time. And the major publishers are suing Audible. The lawsuit's already been filed to stop them from doing that. And the case has got a lot of implications to voice. And Audible will be a Digital Book World, as will all the major publishers. So there's some intrigue there. But I say all of that just to sort of preface the overall point that it's going to be a major theme, and we're seeing it all over the place in different sectors, in different ways, how accessibility is being framed in the conversation. You have, obviously, voice is important to accessibility. There's a lot of people who, for one reason or another, can't use computers either at all or to their maximum function. With a QWERTY keyboard and a mouse, or by swiping, tapping, and touching on their phone. Voice is going to open new worlds to a lot of new people. But it also opens a lot of new worlds of opportunism to tech juggernauts to say that they're going to do something in the name of accessibility, and maybe there is something to that, but it also gives them the opportunity to, like a Trojan horse, bring in a bunch of other stuff that nobody ever asked for. So it's really interesting to see how voice, AI, and accessibility are all sort of converging on one another. And banking is not going to be any different. There's a lot of people who need, would benefit a lot from being able to have a conversation with their bank, or being able to have a conversation about a mortgage in advance of going to a bank, or being able to have a conversation about fees that showed up on their account without having to go to a bank, or I could go on and on and on and on and on. And yet that data, what's going to happen to that? Is that going to be used against the user ultimately, or is all of this going to be more for the benefit of the user? You know, all of this remains to be seen.
Yeah, I can weigh into accessibility. I'll just say a couple quick things. One is, if you look at Worldwide Developer Conference, which is Apple's annual conference for its developers, iOS developers primarily, and Siri would fall under that. really the only significant voice announcement there was around essentially a voice navigation tool that they demonstrated. There were some other things around Siri shortcuts, but no really big advances on the Siri front. But this voice navigation was a pretty compelling solution that was really pitched as something that's an accessibility feature that people who, you know, as Bradley said, have limited ability to use keyboard, mouse. And it was pretty impressive in terms of the way they rolled it out, the way Apple does. They had a, you know, professionally shot commercial and everything. But it did show some of the things that they're doing on the back end, how you can use voice as an interface to make it easier. And I will say also that there are two different people who have been in the industry for some time now who have recently told me that they've shifted most of their business to the blind. Hmm. And one of which was primarily helping the elder community, people who are at home and, you know, had limited mobility but wanted to remain living at home, and was doing work with them and also in homes, but also in facilities, well, senior care centers, those types of things. And he just had so much more demand from the blind community that wanted some help with this that he wound up doing more work there. And another that's a game maker that has these really immersive games that are voice only. And he has people who are blind who play for hours on end this intricate game that he's created. And it's just been a significant shift for him as he sort of realized that that's the audience that was really taking to some of the things he was putting out. So I think there's a few different things around accessibility. The one other thing that people don't often talk about is language. So there's a lot of people who might know how to speak a language, but their reading and writing skills and that was often their second language might be difficult. So it's also an opportunity for them to engage in ways that they might not otherwise.
Yeah, and I think that you just made a great point about seniors. You know, if you look at the previous technology, there was sort of this stigma around mobile that it was a millennial technology. And to be fair, it was in some ways. There definitely was, they're the first to adopt it. They're a little quicker. But I think this particular technology, to Brian Rommel's point, really is sort of bearing out the fact that it's for everyone. But my mom, you know, if Alexa would go to the bathroom, I don't think my mom would ever have to get up again. You know, she can turn off and on the lights. She can ask the time. She can check on how the Beals are doing down in the front place. I got her a show so she can see some of the cameras. I mean, it's a really brilliant device from that perspective. So I think it's also a demographic game changer as well in terms of how it crosses all of those lines. So real quick, I want to come back over to Bradley real fast, just because this is stunning. You mentioned in your opening that, hey, you know, I didn't think I'd wind up here, and here I am talking to Mark Cuban. That is so cool. So just maybe like a quick 2-minute summary of what Mark had to say, and then tell us about the podcast, the season finale, and we'll make sure that link is in the show notes as well.
Sure. So Mark Cuban's an interesting guy. He interfaces with a lot of companies. He's integral to how tech has evolved in the United States. And consequently, the conversation we had was pretty eye-opening for me. He's got a very interesting line of sight on voice and AI. And it's worth people taking the time, you know, go on YouTube or go on, you know, wherever you listen to podcasts and check out that episode of This Week in Voice. You'll enjoy what he has to say. And what makes him interesting is that he's not, he's sort of a generalist about it. You know, he deals with companies in every potential, you know, industry and sector. And so he's not thinking about any particular use case. He's not thinking about any particular ecosystem. He's just broadly commenting on the potential and his optimism for voice and AI in general. And it's fun. It was fun for me to do. It was refreshing to hear. And so I encourage people to check that out. And then just to put an end cap on it, the Voice of Money taking place Tuesday, October the 29th in New York City. Website for that is voiceof.money. And then the big one, Project Voice, the number one event for voice tech and AI in America, coming the week after CES. That's going to have automotive, banking, healthcare, all sorts of sectors as part of it. The website for that is projectvoice.ai. That'll be in Chattanooga, Tennessee, home of the fastest internet in the United States. Encourage people to check that out too.
Hey, Bradley, I just wanted to follow up on the Mark Cuban interview. Two really quick things. First of all, it was an excellent interview. One of the things you talked about with him, and I think a lot of people know of Mark Cuban Shark Tank. Not all of them know that he was an internet entrepreneur back in the 90s. And you talked about that a little bit. You know, he's really famous for bringing radio to the internet. I think as a lot of people, you know, think about it, but he did a number of different things around media on the web. And he'd been selling PCs door to door to businesses, all these different things. And he saw the internet and it was a platform shift. And that's what he really wanted to focus on going forward, because he saw it was such a big deal. And he said on your podcast, he said, hey, basically the voice is that same opportunity today. It's just a different time. It is the new technology. And that's where he'd be spending his time if he was an up and coming entrepreneur.
Sure. And when Mark Cuban tells you something like that, like I think the question I asked him was, if he was in college, what would he be doing? How would he be looking to leverage voice or take advantage of it? And he talked about he would just be creating as many Alexa skills as he possibly could and would turn that into a volume oriented business. And whether you're talking Alexa or Google or whatever ecosystem, the point's the same, you know, getting your hands dirty and working with businesses to bring them into voice. I thought his point was well taken, but I appreciate you saying that, Brett.
So to close this out, we're right at the end here. So one of the things we're doing is we are basically saying, hey, particularly with the credit unions, we're starting there, but we'll be working with a lot of community banks as well, as it's time to stake your claim in this universe. And one thing that kind of hit me, particularly with Google Home, but even in the financial space with Alexa and the Echo platform, is that these invocations, and so for everybody's listening, an invocation is how you sort of acknowledge or you indicate the service or skill you want to communicate with. It's an action in Google. So, but these invocations are kind of unique, like domain names, like www.voicebot.ai. And so we've actually started something called CU Voice Registry, which is cuvoiceregistry.com, which is going to hit here soon, that allows any credit union to throw up a quick website, basically a voice website that gives a lot of information just to sort of stake that claim and make sure that someone else doesn't get it. For instance, if I went in and tried to create a Capital One skill, they would basically say, hey, you know, no, but there are a lot of banks that have the same names and there are a lot of credit unions that have similar names. For example, you know, a lot of them use acronyms or things like, you know, BECU versus, you know, another BECU. One might be the old Boeing employees and the other might be Boston Employees Credit Union or something like that. So we're encouraging people to sort of set that up. Do you guys see that as a, I just want to get your opinion on it. I've kind of already moved forward with it, but I wanted to kind of see if you guys are seeing the same thing where there's not enough urgency around sort of staking your claim in this model.
Well, Alexa, the Alexa ecosystem, they allow you to have duplicate names. In the Google ecosystem, they do not. It's not clear.
But with a financial institution, that would be an issue because you'd have someone spoofing them particularly.
So, well,
they're going to be careful about that.
Yes, I understand that. And they have some things now which are unofficial and those types of things. But yeah. BECU could also potentially be a radio station, right?
Yep.
So, you know, one of the things they do is they do verify your name. Mm-hmm. But there could be two different players in banking that are BECU on Alexa. On Google, there's only one BECU, right? Yep. If that's a thing, right?
Yep.
They only allow unique invocation names. So I would say in general, yes, you should stake your claim to that. And actually the only way to really stake your claim is to launch a Google Assistant action.
Yep.
There's a few large national or global brand names like Coca-Cola that are going to be reserved, that or media properties, like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, that Google's not going to allow you to register today. But almost everything else, there's just a lot of things that they will absolutely let you launch on. And then you own that domain just as if you owned a .com.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, and I get your point now. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's our concern. And so we actually have built a quick way where you can go in and just fill out some information, and it creates that hierarchical website, that, or the anti-hierarchical website that you're talking about, where, hey, I want to know the routing number, but if I want to do that, I got to break out my phone, get to the website, maybe search for it two or three clicks, where I can just go, hey, Alexa, what's Suncoast School's routing number? And it's going to spout it off, and I don't have to dig through the menus. I think that's the, and that to be, me is the habit forming informational piece that begins to draw people into voice when they see the accessibility and the ease of use. So, and, you know, so we're pushing that. We hope that I'd love for you guys to comment on that. We're actually using a lot of the voice AI, VoiceBot AI amazing statistics. If you go to the website, and definitely be pushing it hard at talking about the voiceof.money, voiceof.money, which we're very excited to be part of. So, man, I wish I could do a two episode with you guys. This would, I would ask that. There's so much more I want to ask both of you about this and kind of what's moving on. I hope that maybe post the voice of .money, or while we're there, maybe we could just get together. I would love to just continue this conversation, because it was so many things that I had also jotted down, but I wanted to make sure we gave a lot of time to kind of the financial side of it. But I'm very interested in your thoughts. So, so real quick, Bradley Medrock, if someone wants to track you down, if someone's interested and just heard what you had to say and just blown away, how do they find you?
Yeah, so you can hit me up on LinkedIn, just Bradley Medrock. You can hit me up on Twitter, B Medrock. You can go to voicefirstevents.com. That's a good sort of clearinghouse for a lot that we do. And yeah, I welcome that. If you're listening to that, feel free to reach out. I'd love to hear from you. And John, I appreciate you having me on the show. And like you said, if you're listening to this and you don't know what voicebot.ai is, just pause the podcast,
yep,
go to the browser, type that in and find out. You'll be doing yourself a favor.
Absolutely. And real quick, Brett, if someone just is, you know, wanting more stats, wants to talk to you about this financial you know, skill set piece that you did, this research that you're doing, or maybe they want to hire you to do some research, how do they find you?
Sure. Thank you, Bradley, for the shout out there. And I also should say, listen to This Week in Voice coming up. Maybe I'll be a guest on that very soon. So voicebot.ai, first and foremost, if you want data too, so we have news and 60 articles a month, but in the upper left-hand corner in the nav bar, you'll see a little message to say voice stats. If you click that, you'll get into the data really quickly, or you hit research and you get the research report. So point that out. And then on Twitter, at Brett Kinsella, I'm the only Brett Kinsella out there, B-R-E-T, just one T and Brett, and at VoiceBot AI. So you'll be able to follow what we're doing.
Awesome. Well, listen, thank you both. I assume I'll see you in October in the underground digital hacker club. I kind of picture it as something from like The Matrix, like more steampunky. So I'm sort of excited about that.
It's going to be cool. And we're honored to have Best Innovation Group as part of it and in support of it. John, thank you for everything you're doing for that and the community.
Well, thank you. So we will definitely hopefully get you both back on, maybe together or individually. I can't wait to, I've got a little bit of a trip coming this week, and now I've got me a podcast to go listen to. I'm always catching up on those, just so many things I like to try to track down. There's so much out there. So that's it for this this big cast. And if you have any questions or need anything or are interested in this, you can always find us at big-fintech.com. You can just click on the podcast link. You'll find all of these items out there. You can find me at JB Fintech, so at JB Fintech on Twitter. You can also find me on LinkedIn. It's just John Best, CEO of Best Innovation Group, host of the Big Cast. Thank you both, and have a great, great day.
And to you, John. Thanks.
Thank you, John.
Got a question or want to join the conversation? We'd love to hear from you. Tweet us at Big Fintech, email us at info@big-fintech.com, or visit our show notes and comments at www.bigfintechmedia.com.